It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I thank you so much for tuning in. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you live, but I am happy that you're here. I am in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. And once again, thank you to you. I could thank you all day because if you're not here, we don't have jobs. There is no show. So we appreciate you. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 375, and a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. It has been a day. Man, it's going to continue to be a day. We got Thursday Night Football starting next hour. Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle, well, damn it, about to call them the Mariners. Nope, not the Mariners. We'll get into them in a second. The Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, we got Sam Darnold out here versus Kyler Murray. Keep you up to date on that game as it gets started next hour. All the good things coming out of there. We talked a lot of baseball so far. We got guys like Kyle Schwarber and Otani hitting home runs and Judge and Raleigh. Schwarber and Judge both hit two home runs apiece last night. These are some leading candidates for MVP. We'll get into that in a second. We talked about some NFL action. We got into Travis Hunter and Deion Sanders. If you missed a second, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. But we got so much more to get into. How about this? In 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Rowan Kavner from Fox Sports. We'll talk about the Mariners, the MVP race. We'll go ahead and get Rowan's thoughts. But we can get your thoughts, too. Here's a number. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. What a day it's been. Baseball season is almost to a close. Sunday is it? That's it. And last hour, we talked about all these home runs that were hit last night. How the heck do we have more home runs hit today? Shohei Ohtani is getting involved too. Because why the hell not? Shohei Ohtani hits home runs. That's what he does. Today, the man wasn't in the, well, he wasn't on the mound. He was on the batter's box. The Dodgers just beat Arizona last hour. The final score, 8-0. Ohtani hit his 54th home run of the season, a two-run blast, tying a career high. Like Shohei Ohtani rolls out of bed and just says, I do what I want. I hit home runs. I strike people out. Hey, Botcher, we got that home run call by Ohtani?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
1-1. Ohtani swings, hits a drive deep to right center. This ball heading back to the pool. It is gone. Splashdown for Ohtani in Phoenix. Home run number 54. He ties his own home run record. He ties the Dodgers single season home run record. It's a two-run shot, and the Dodgers lead it 6-0.
What are we doing here? Is Shohei Ohtani, is he tired of this? I guess not. He's batting 280 on the year. He has 101 RBIs. It's just nuts what he does. He is a baseball machine. And unlike guys in the past, nobody's accusing Shohei Ohtani of being some type of drug user. Not at all. And so when you think about what we've seen so far, not only have they won the National League West, they're trying to go out here and repeat and grab another championship. This is what Dave Roberts had to say about winning the NL West. This is from Sportsnet LA.
It means a lot, you know, as you start spring training, and you know, this is the first step. We believe that the National League West runs through Los Angeles, and you know, we did one part of the equation, and it took a lot to get to this point, and just so proud of the way that these guys fought, persevered, and you know, everyone was accountable. No one made excuses, and we grew from a lot of adversity. And like I've said in the recent weeks, we're playing our baseball right now.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Here we are. The Dodgers. Who's knocking them off? Is it going to be the Phillies? Is that who's going to knock them off?
I was going to say their only enemy is themselves when you look at it.
Oh, the only enemy is how they can slide somebody into the bullpen to help them out. We got the Phillies out here, too. They got a big old masher. We know Ohtani is the guy. I think Ohtani is going to go out here and win another MVP. This is just what he did. And shout-outs to Kyle Schwarber. I know he's out here mashing all these damn home runs, and he's doing his thing, and the Phillies might win another World Series. Shohei Ohtani might win his fourth MVP. A matter of fact, he is going to win his fourth MVP because he's pitched half the season. And when he pitched earlier this week, I said yesterday, it was actually 2 days ago, this man went out there. He has 14 starts already. He has an ERA of 2.87. Like, you are not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to crank home runs and then have an ERA under 3 on the mound. Like, you're not supposed to do. Shohei Ohtani, without a shadow of a doubt, is going to win another MVP. No disrespect to Kyle Schwarber. God bless him. 56 home runs, 132 RBIs. He's cranking in ultimately a year that's going to net him a lot of money in the offseason. You cannot look at Ohtani and not give him MVP. There's going to be quite a few guys over the past few years that when their careers are done, you just go, hey, why not with an MVP? Because I played at the same time as Shohei Ohtani. It's just wild. Shout-outs to Kyle Schwarber. You got Cliff Floyd, damn good player in his own right, was never an MVP candidate. But Cliff Floyd, he talked about how important Kyle Schwarber is to the Phillies. Listen to this on MLB.
He's probably the most valuable, if not top two most valuable guys in this Phillies lineup. They need to keep him there. He's made the full adjustment to have a season like he's having right now. To go into free agency.
Woo! I think there's going to be a lot of bitter. He changes the clubhouse culture for you, too. So it's not just the pumps.
If he leaves, the Phillies will never be the same.
Yep.
Yeah, no, if he leaves it, they will not be the same, which is why I think the Phillies are going to keep him in town. You do want to think about this. You know, it's not like he's getting any younger. Yeah, he is one of these guys getting ready to get a big old contract. But you think about Kyle Schwarber, he's going to be 33 years old at the start of next year. And sure, power is one of the last things to go. You're not expecting Kyle Schwarber to go out there and, I don't know, be Shohei Ohtani. Eventually, he's just going to be a DH, like full-time, all the time, not even be out in the field. He is going to get paid. Shout-outs to him, but there's no way in hell Ohtani is not winning MVP. Now, on the American League side, a little bit more difficult. You have Cal Raleigh right now. Hitting all these records, making all these records, breaking all these records as a catcher. He's trying to surpass Aaron Judge's 62 home runs as an American League record. He got 60 of them right now. This is a little tougher. He plays catcher. He's playing offense. He's playing defense. He's running the pitching staff. You have Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, we know he missed a couple of games in July with his elbow injury. And even to today, he has the highest batting average in the league, Major League Baseball, period, .328. He has 51 home runs. He cracked 2 last night. He has 109 RBIs. Man, you could argue, outside of Shohei Ohtani, who plays multiple positions, of course, Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball. But I don't think he's going to win MVP this year. I don't think it's happening. Listen to Mark DeRosa talk about the American League MVP race on MLB Network.
In a world where the analytics guys have told me to kind of devalue batting average, I think in Cal Raleigh's case, Kyle Schwarber's case, there's certain guys around the league, even in Aaron Judge's case, him winning the batting title, for him, I know that means a lot. I think Cal Raleigh, to me, if he was hitting .280, wouldn't change the narrative so much. So no, but I don't want to dive in on batting average. I want to dive in on what I believe adds the most value to a team. What he's doing, running a pitching staff, all the nicks and bruises of catching every day, carrying an offense, carrying a team to its first division title in 24 years.
Now you're making stuff up. But go ahead.
I'm making stuff up.
But as far as like carrying, to what level does anybody carry?
He's got 60 homers. Name another offensive presence in his lineup.
That's concrete.
No. Now you're talking concrete. Just say, now I'm making stuff up.
No, when you go.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I get into that batting average. People have de-emphasized batting average for years. People are looking at OPS and when you get on base. Well, the name of the game is baseball. Get on base. Can you try to hit it first? Do you have that skill? But outside of that, I think Cal Raleigh is going to win the award. People always like the fancy new object. I don't think anybody would look at any type of draft and go, hey, do I want Aaron Judge or Cal Raleigh? Overall, you would probably take Aaron Judge, period. I think 9 out of 10 people would take Aaron Judge. But when you're looking at this year, we know how writers and voters ultimately think. What have you done for me lately? Right now, Cal Raleigh is he's the fancy new toy in the American League. And I mean, if he runs over the next couple of days and he decides to break the American League home run record, which has been set by Aaron Judge in 2022 of 62, you mean to tell me that he's not going to win MVP? It's kind of crazy. Aaron Judge already has 2 of these trophies. Is he going to get 3 this year? I don't think so. I don't. I think it's going to go to Cal Raleigh. He's the fancy new toy. He's the fancy object. He's catcher. He's broken records at catcher. I think he's going to be rewarded. Now, Aaron Judge hasn't missed all that many games behind him. Cal Raleigh has caught. Well, not caught. He's played in 155 games. Aaron Judge has been in 148. Okay? Is there a massive difference? How many home runs are we missing? I mean, Aaron Judge is the type of guy, he could go into a game, those games he missed, he could have hit 5 home runs, he could have hit 0. We don't know. I just think Cal Raleigh's going to end up with the MVP award. People want the fancy new thing. It doesn't matter what Judge is doing. Boccia, do you think Judge is going to win, or are they going to give it to Raleigh?
I was looking at this earlier. I personally think that Judge is, of course, having the better hitting season.
Yes.
But the impact to the team and the narrative around the Mariners this year is kind of carrying Cal Raleigh to this MVP. When you look at it, I personally believe if the Mariners finish the season with a better record than the Yankees, it's going to go to Cal. And if somehow the Yankees come back and take the AL East, it's going to sway to Judge.
Oh, you think that? I think it's done at this point. I don't care what happens between now and Sunday. I think it's over. You know, people historically are sick of the Yankees. Nobody wants to see the Yankees win. People are happy they haven't won a World Series. And even if they're not winning World Series, they're still looked upon as winners because they are. I mean, historically, they are. Without winning World Series, their regular season records, they are. It's nuts with the Yankees. And so here you have the Seattle Mariners, the team that plays in the Pacific Northwest. They don't get all the attention. They don't get all the accolades. A good portion of America probably doesn't even see them play throughout the course of the year. And then you got Cal Raleigh. I mean, to everything you said, I think it's done. I don't think anything is going to sway anybody the rest of this year. Like this fatigue. Boccia, don't you like the Mets?
I do, but Aaron Judge is so good. And if the voters are being non-biased, like they're supposed to be,
doesn't happen.
The numbers are just so much better. And would you give up the 9 home runs for a batting average that is 70 points higher and his OPS, which is almost 200 points higher? It's very questionable.
People don't care, but people go into storylines. I mean, it depends. People pick and choose whatever helps them. And right now, the fact that one guy is a Yankee, oh, we're sick of the Yankees, and the other guy is like, the flavor of the month, the flavor of the year, the flavor of the season, and people are going to go with him. And Cal Raleigh's going to end up with the award. Aaron Judge is going to miss out. He's going to have to be healthy next year and bat 330 and hit 60 home runs and drive in another 120 if he wants to pick up his third trophy. Cal Raleigh's going to get it. I mean, the most recent example that we've seen is anything like this is just, what, a couple of seasons ago in the NBA when Nikola Jokic ended up, you know, missing out on MVP because of Joel Embiid. And at that point, Jokic is like, man, I don't even care about this. There's a whole campaign about it. Is it a racial thing? Is it a black? Is it a white thing? A European guy? A black guy from Africa? It was just nauseating. Where the hell has Joel Embiid been? besides piggybacking an American gold medal and being hurt for the Sixers, what has he done lately? You got a guy like Jokic who just is out of shape as he looks. He's well-conditioned. He just plays and plays and plays. He's a basketball machine. Aaron Judge, if he's healthy, he's a baseball machine. But I think we've run into fatigue. I think we're going to have Cal Raleigh winning the American League MVP. I think we're going to have Shohei Ohtani because he does it all. I think he's going to go out there and without a shadow of a doubt pick up his fourth MVP. Damn. Shohei Ohtani just makes no sense. Give him the fifth one next year while you're at it already. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk to someone who is a little bit more qualified to have these conversations. He covers all things Major League Baseball for Fox Sports. Let's talk to him about these Mariners. Let's get into Cal Raleigh. Let's talk about the historical significance. We're going to be joined by Rowan Kavner, covers all things MLB for Fox on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got a lot of baseball going on. This is a great time of the year. We got divisions that are getting wrapped up. We got MVP races that have pretty much tightened up now that we're down to, 4 days left in the regular season. To talk about it all, think about these MVP races, to continue on with the conversation. Joining us right now is someone who covers all things baseball for Fox Sports. Welcome back to Rowan Kavner. Rowan, thank you so much for being here.
Happy to be here, man. It's a crazy time.
It is. It's definitely a crazy time. You know, before you joined us last break, we took a look at the performances of Aaron Judge and then also Cal Raleigh and what he's doing. I believe that we're definitely going to have some voter fatigue when it comes down to Aaron Judge. I'm looking at Cal Raleigh to go ahead and just pick up this MVP. What are your thoughts on how this race has developed in the American League?
Crazy. It's like, how many people kind of judge with head versus heart, with numbers versus just what you're kind of seeing in terms of, you know, how Cal's picked up a team that hadn't had a division title since 2001. It just, in some ways, it feels like it's just the year of Cal. And when you have a catcher get 60 home runs, we hadn't seen a primary catcher hit more than 48 ever before. Obviously, all the stats about, the first switch hitter to do stuff like this. There's a lot in the heart that just says this is the answer. And then you still look at the numbers, especially when you're talking about slash line numbers and the edge and average and on base percentage and slugging and OPS. I truly have, which all would go to Aaron Judge, I truly have no idea how this is going to go. And maybe there is some fatigue that kind of goes with this. I could make a case for either, and I wouldn't be shocked if this is basically going to be a split vote or maybe decided by one or two votes.
Wow. Rowan Kavner is here with us from Fox Sports. Is it just me? But knowing what Cal Raleigh has done, he's hit 60 home runs. 3 years ago, Aaron Judge cranked out 62, an American League record. It seemed like even from a national perspective, and we know the Yankees are a bigger brand and they're the East Coast and what have you, it seems that what Cal Raleigh is doing right now, it hasn't been emphasized in the same way as to what Judge did a few years ago. And I think given the fact that he plays catcher, has caught 130 games, means a whole hell of a lot more. Is it just because he's in Seattle, tucked away in the Pacific Northwest? Why hasn't this garnered so much attention?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. And yeah, if you're an East Coast fan, you're probably not staying up to watch games in Seattle. But I mean, you look at kind of just the numbers themselves. I mean, you're talking about Aaron Judge, who, yes, this year is not the same offensively that it was last year, but it's not that far off. And he's pretty much assured probably going to win the batting title for the first time in his career, that this is not just a home run threat, that, you know, he's hitting well over 320. Like, it's not just it's not a slight on Cal at all if he doesn't win it, if people maybe aren't giving him the attention that some think he deserves. Judge has still been absolutely insane. Now, totally have an argument for Cal Raleigh, and I think when you're talking about doing something we've never seen before at a position, I think the big question now is, you know, how much stock do you put into the fact that he is a catcher, that all the stuff that goes on from game calling to game planning, all the work it takes to you know, the nicks and bruises you take from you know, playing that position. How much stock do you put in that? Because if you put a lot in it, then your answer is probably Kyle Raleigh. If you don't, then you look at the numbers overall, and your answer is probably Judge. So, you know, I think the fact that he won the Home Run Derby maybe put him on more of a national kind of scale, or people maybe saw him a little bit more there. Yeah. But I am curious. You know, I really, truly have no idea how this is going to go. And I flip-flopped on what I've thought for a while, and I'm just very thankful that this year I don't have the AL MVP vote.
Rowan Kavner is here with us from Fox Sports. You talk about the Mariners and not winning the division since 2001, which is nuts. I think that was the year they won, was it 114, 116 games? And here we are in 2025. Is it realistic that they can go on a run? It seems that they've always either missed the playoffs by a day, or they get in and get eliminated. What are your thoughts on this team overall?
They're my favorite in the American League, and I think once they restocked at the deadline and were able to add, you know, I think a lot of attention was on Eugenio Suarez, which made sense with his power ability, but Josh Naylor has just been such a huge lift for that team. And that really, I mean, for so long we talked about how stacked that rotation was, but the offense just wasn't quite good enough to get there. This is the most talented roster they've had on this run, and that offense has made up for the fact that, like, they still have these, you know, juggernauts in the rotation, but they haven't all performed to their capabilities, and health has obviously been a big component of that. Now, I think you feel pretty good about that group if Wu ends up healthy, you know, being able to kind of go on a run there. But now the offense is there to match, and in an American League right now that there's just not a whole lot of juggernauts, there's really none, I could totally see a world where they make it to the World Series.
Well, listen, you talk about Brian Wu. We know he's dealing with that chest injury. Should we kind of write him off at the beginning of the postseason? Like, what's the chest? A chest injury for a pitcher sounds like curtains to me.
Yeah, it's when you hear like pectoral too, it just kind of sounds a little bit ominous. I'm concerned. I mean, he it's funny because you think about all the names in that rotation and Gilbert and Kirby and Castillo and all these guys, but Wu's been the one constant there. I mean, all those other guys have dealt with stuff. It's kind of been a little bit up and down. Gilbert's still been awesome. But Wu has really been the one constant through all of that. So that's a huge loss if he's not available. And I haven't heard any sort of update, you know, in terms of kind of next steps. It sounds like they're a little bit more optimistic than what it looked like when he left the game. But, yeah, when you're hearing pectoral tightness for your starting pitcher, that's not a good sign when you're a few days away from the end of the regular season.
Rowan Kavner is here with us from Fox Sports. You know, typically the managers don't get a lot of love. They don't get a lot of attention. You know, when things are bad, you can point at them. When things are going good, it's just like, hey, the manager just sits there. What has Dan Wilson meant to this team just over the past two seasons? You haven't been here a long time.
Yeah, and I don't get a front row seat to all that. And there's so much, man, that goes, you know, there's votes for manager of the year. And there's just so much we don't know about what these guys are kind of like actually doing, how much each manager really, you know, is doing to either propel or the opposite to you know, put a team behind the eight ball a little bit. With him, though, I mean, look, like the fact that they're still believing, it's been some ups and downs in this second half. And then to go on this surge, you can't argue what the result has looked like so far. Yes, I think this roster is better than the ones that we've seen before, but he's done a tremendous job. And you know, there were a ton of expectations on the Mariners to finally get over the hump. And there's a lot of pressure that kind of comes along with that. We've seen, you mentioned it so many times, where you think it's going to be their year and they just haven't been able to do it. To finally be the guy that helps get them over the hump, I think is worthy of consideration, especially when, you look around the American League, you see what's happening to the Tigers right now. You see the Blue Jays kind of clinging on for life. The fact that the Mariners were able to go and take it, and yes, the Astros kind of falling behind here at the end has definitely helped their cause, but it's definitely worthy of some praise.
Well, I know you're high on what the Mariners can do in the postseason here. I know we talked about the Yankees and more specifically Aaron Judge. Who do you think is their biggest competition in the American League?
It's a good question. I would probably say the Yankees. I mean, they're playing really good baseball right now. They've caught up to the Blue Jays here, and it's worth noting that Toronto does have the tiebreaker, because that's looking like it's really going to come down to the wire. You know, Rodon's had a much better season, and Fried, obviously, it's a big blow to not have Cole. But I think you just look at kind of the roster composition. I think that's probably the scariest team. And then I have no idea what to make of Cleveland. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're 86-72. They still have a negative run differential. They've done this 17 of 19 games that they've won, and they still have a negative run differential on the year. It's just like a magic wand that they're waving, and the starting pitching has been so good. So I don't know what to make of them. I think, like, I would say the Yankees are probably the biggest competition, but it's hard to argue against what Cleveland's done in September.
Hey, to take a quick look at the National League, Mark, what are we? Can we just, and correct me if I'm wrong, can we just not put the Phillies and the Dodgers in the NLCS and call it a day? Do we got to go through this whole thing?
Yeah, at least we have a little bit of, we kind of know already at least who's won these divisions. So this weekend's not quite as exciting from top to bottom in the National League as it is in the American League here, but still obviously a lot to play for if you're the Mets or the Reds or the Diamondbacks. Trying to kind of cling on to that last wild card spot. I mean, yeah, I think those are the two teams that everybody's watching. Those are the, I know, look, the Brewers are going to end up with the best record in baseball. They deserve tons of credit and praise. But I think if you're looking at the favorites, the two teams you mentioned are probably up there. And I think everyone's waiting for that Phillies-Dodgers series. We got a taste of it, earlier this month. And those were some really, really fun back and forth games. If those two teams are going to meet in the NLCS, that's going to be a real battle.
Yeah, Rowan Kavanagh here with us from Fox Sports. You mentioned the New York Mets got this payroll of $350+ million. They may be on the outside looking in. Maybe they get in. It's still going to be a disappointment either way. What does Steve Cohen do? Like, he can't throw his wallet at everything and make it work, right?
Well, he's got to throw his wallet at a starting pitcher. And I think that was kind of the one thing coming into the year. They spent so much money, as we know. It's well documented how much they spent, obviously, to bring in Soto. And he's been everything they could have wanted. I mean, if you told them at the end of this year, these are the numbers that Juan Soto is going to have, you take that 10 times out of 10. The starting pitching, which was so good and clearly playing over its skis for in that first half, has just regressed immensely. And all the veteran guys that they were relying on to kind of carry them forward have not panned out, and they're relying on a bunch of young arms. And what you're going to get if you're relying on a bunch of young arms is a lot of volatility and some uncomfortable days ahead, even if they do make it into October. Right now, though, that's definitely no guarantee. It's worth noting the Reds do have the tiebreaker. The Mets, I think, are a half game up right now, so we'll see how these last few days go. If they don't make it to the playoffs, man, what a huge letdown. I'd say it's the biggest meltdown, but I think Detroit is going to take that if they aren't able to cling on to that final wild card spot.
Oh, I agree with you on that one. Is it too early for me to call Kodai Senga Ben Simmons? Is it too early? Too early, right?
Maybe too early. Got to give him another couple of years.
Okay, yeah, he's going to have to quit and just, hey, I know, I want to stay in the minors. I just want to stay here a little while longer.
As an LSU grad, that comparison hurts me, though.
Ooh! We knew Ben Simmons was a quitter when he was in college. Come on, Rowan.
Yeah, hey, I'm not gonna defend him. I'm not gonna defend him.
Okay. Yeah. We know where he is right now. Not on an NBA team. Hey, Rowan. Before we get out of here, we learned earlier this week, a couple of days ago, that Major League Baseball is fully going to implement the automatic ball strike challenge system next year. Do you think that this is going to go off without a hitch? Are there going to be major hiccups? What are your thoughts on how it's going to be implemented and what it'll look like?
There'll probably be some hiccups, but I think overall it's a good thing. I'm curious to see, you know, how much time is actually added. When you think about all the rule changes that have happened in the last few years, so much of it that's been a huge success is speeding up the play, speeding up the game. I don't expect it to be a huge problem in terms of, you know, maybe you're adding a couple minutes here and there. But the whole point is you want to eliminate the hugely egregious calls. I think it's important that the umpires still have a role and there's still a role for some catch framing. But I do think eliminating the really, really harsh calls is important, and I think it's a good decision.
Yeah. Well, we know Aaron Boone is not a fan of it. He wants to frame pitches, and then he wants to yell at the umpires about it afterwards. So
I'm sure he'll still find ways to yell at the umpires, though.
Yeah, and the poor guy, he got a pacemaker, and nobody yells at anybody more than him. He got a pacemaker. Poor guy. What a world. What a world. Hey, Rowan, thank you so much for the time. Tell everybody where they can follow you online, on the internet, find you, all the good stuff with Fox.
Yeah, you can find me at Rowan Kavner on X. You can read my work at Fox Sports. We did some contender rankings that if you're confused about, you know, all the scenarios right now, that you can find that at Fox Sports. And we'll have a whole lot more. Obviously, it's going to be a crazy weekend ahead. So catch me there.
No, we're looking forward to it. We always appreciate it, Rowan. We'll catch you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks so much.
All right, much love and many thanks to Rowan Kavner for joining us from Fox Sports to take a real deep look as to what the heck is going on in Major League Baseball, what things could look like in the American League MVP race, and what the Mariners can do. Now, the Mariners, I mean, over the past several seasons, it's just like he has 85 wins, almost 90 wins. They get into the playoffs. They barely make the playoffs. They don't get in. It's just good for them this year. Their fans deserve it. And Seattle is such a great place. The fans are so good. I mean, even if I go back to all the years when they had Ichiro Suzuki, going back 25 years and 24 years, and Jay Buhner's and Olerud's out there, and Ichiro and Edgar Martinez, it stunk to not see them have success. King Fila, it's just stunk. It's like they could have the talent, but they never got over the hump. Never. Maybe this is the year. The fans deserve it. I'll tell you one thing I'm sick and tired of seeing. I hate the props, okay? Like, do we need to walk around with a trident? Like, do I need to see Cal Raleigh walking around with a trident every time they go ahead and hit a home run? I don't need those stupid props. You know, we'll talk about these stupid props on the other side of the break. Do we need all these gimmicks? I don't think so. We're going to talk about Urban Meyer, some words he had for Fran Brown. We'll get into the NBA. Their season is about a month away. We got top 10 lists in the NBA. There's a lot going on. But right now, let's learn what's going on. It's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Well, thank you for listening. And thank you so much to Rowan Kavner for joining us in the last break, coming through to talk some Major League Baseball, taking a look at the MVP race in the American League between Cal Raleigh and then Aaron Judge. Also, some additional New York Yankees news as Major League Baseball continues to spread their product all over the place. The Yankees and Giants, San Francisco Giants, they're going to be on Netflix on opening day. Okay? This is going to be Netflix's first exclusive Major League Baseball stream. It's the only game on March 25th. Everybody else is going to open up the following day. Okay? That'll be March 26th. We'll see everybody else in action. And so Netflix is not playing games. Okay? Netflix is like, we got NFL. And yeah, Netflix is about to own everything. Now, good on Major League Baseball if they really utilize Netflix, because this Apple TV thing ain't working for me. I cannot do that. We'll never do that. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it's so much more than just another SUV at HyundaiUSA.com. You know, before we went to break, we talked about Cal Raleigh. And then while my brain went here on some of these celebrations, I don't know. But all I saw in my head was the trident, the gimmicks. Like, is this making baseball fun? To me, it's just kind of corny. Like, the baseball player hits a home run, he comes into the dugout, and all of a sudden they're handing him a trident because we're mariners, we're people of the ocean, of the Pacific Northwest, and we dive deep and kill our opponents and drive them to the deepest part and come out victorious. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, Bacha, is it just me? I hate these props. I hate them.
It depends what they are. Some of them are cool and some of them are just dumb. Like the Detroit pizza on the spear. Okay, it's kind of dumb, but I'll let you rock with it. I like the trident. The Blue Jays having the home run coat, that's completely stupid.
Oh my goodness.
It depends what it is.
Do we need this? Like, when did this, who started? When did we see this? This wasn't, I feel like maybe over the past 10 years we started to see more of these props. Am I wrong? When Shohei Ohtani was on the Angels, didn't they bring out like samurai type stuff when he was playing?
That was, yeah, when they had the samurai gear. I think they're still doing something like that, I think. But
the Angels?
They're still doing a gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's as good, but ever feel like every team does have a home run gimmick, whether it be the pizza, the trident, the coat, the selfie cam. It's just a lot.
Yeah, but what are the Yankees do when they hit home runs? Am I missing something? They don't got no prop.
Oh yeah, but they're boring. Well, they don't want to disturb the Yankee way.
Well, that's better. It's kind of corny to me. Is it? I don't know. You're younger than me. You think it's fun? I think it's stupid.
I think if you go too far into it and rally around it, that's when I can question it. Like if you're saying in post games and trying to make it a rally call, that's too much. Like, for example, the Mets had Donnie Baseball or Donnie some buff influencer telling me to hit home runs. That's pushing it. That's corny. But taking a selfie after a home run, I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. But and it's not just Major League Baseball. Now look at me being old man yelling at cloud. Like just a couple of years ago, I feel like it's been toned down a little bit. I feel like in college football, it went overboard as well with all the celebrations. Like we got turnover chains, and it didn't matter if it was in Miami, and then you got to other programs, and it's chains and helmets. It just became obnoxious. And I get it. I'm all for fun. But the fun that I want to see first takes place on the field. Like I'm fine with dances, but we got chains and props and celebrations. And man, you'll have a guy. You'll have a team getting their asses whooped. Like they're getting blown out and beat up. And then they do one good thing. And then what are you celebrating for? You're losing. You're losing. Like, it drives me nuts. You can watch an NFL game. You can watch a football game. I don't know what it is. And sure, you get a sack. You want to be happy. You get an interception. You want to be thrilled. But some of these dudes, it's just like, do you understand you're losing? Like, it's the score is 40-10 right now. What the heck are you celebrating for? It just comes across as a lot of me, me, me. And maybe I'm old and I just want it to be more about the team. I just can't stand the ridiculous amounts of, I was going to say me-ism, but individualism. I don't know. It's just, it's tacky, if you ask me. I get it. If you are the New York Mets and you want to utilize Grimace from McDonald's as a rallying cry, okay? If you want to go ahead and, find the next gimmick as the team, I understand that. But for the players who are actually in the locker room, it's kind of tacky. Okay, if you're in the World Baseball Classic and you want to do something, go for it. Put on an Uncle Sam hat. Knock yourself out. In the regular season, I don't want to see this. It's corny. Bacha, I wish they would take that trident, and I wish they'd break it.
Whoa, that's bad karma, though.
For who?
For the Cal Raleigh and the team. You're disgracing your team's logo at that point. That's like stepping on the logo.
Here we go. Who stepped on a Boston Celtics logo? Was it Kyrie?
And then he tore his ACL and sprained his ankle. So
that's not the first time. T.O. got on the Cowboys star.
That's also true. But there's always bad vibes with messing with logos and symbols. They don't have to break it. They could just retire it.
What, you're superstitious?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay. No walk. I've said this before. I don't care about none of that stuff. You're not walking under a ladder. You're not doing none of that black cat umbrella inside.
I'm toned down on the black cat stuff because there's been a lot of times where a black cat has crossed the road and nothing bad has happened to me yet I proceed to knock on wood. But yeah, there's some things I believe in, some things I don't.
You do the rally stuff too as a sports fan? Will you, if somebody hits a home run, you sit in that same spot, you do that stuff?
I used to do that with the Jets when I used to switch seats.
Where it's how does that work?
Hey, the one time I moved the seat and they played good, I thought it would help, and the next week they lost by 30. So that killed that hope.
You're a modern-day good luck charm, Botcher. You're a modern-day good luck charm. Yeah, I'm not. not superstars. I don't care about none of this stuff. I'm here, they're there, they doing what they doing. I'm doing, you know, I've accepted some of these stupid little gimmicks that the players have, and I live with it. But I am tired, and I know because the guy hit 60 home runs, I've been looking at that stupid trident all year long. I'm done with it. It's okay. I'll get over it, just like a lot of things. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're getting ready for week 4 of the NFL season. Yeah, it's about to be upon us. In the upcoming hour, we got the Cardinals hosting the Seahawks. And I can't believe this. Tua Tagovailoa, is he okay? Like, does he know anything about playing football? The people he has to play against? Tua Tagovailoa said something crazy. I'm going to tell you what came out of his mouth on the other side of the break. There's just a lot going on in Tua's brain. Last week, he's talking about not being half as good as Josh Allen. And today, he responded to some criticism from Cam Newton in a very unusual way. We're going to hear and talk about Tua on the other side of the break. And then we're going to get into some more baseball as well. Because how about this? Man, I don't know what's going on in Detroit. They stink. I'm talking about the Tigers. Mark Ryan is going to join us from 97.1 The Ticket. We got more to do. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.